objection to the Sandell motion on approving the minutes of the last meeting? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are approved. Before we get to the rest of the agenda, just a couple of organizational points. You heard Representative Eklund pull back House Bill 14 to this committee Monday during session. We are hopeful that we will recycle House Bill 14 as broadband bill. And if we are going to do another investment in broadband, that will be the vehicle. We've asked Representative Eklund to be here today. He might not be here because we're not actually dealing with putting anything into the bill or amending it, but that will be our vehicle bill for this. Also, we have a new committee, LA. Ursula Gretzka is replacing Tara Schaefel. Tara's moved up to the leadership corner. So she will be our new LA for the upcoming session. And with that, we have a presentation on the Office of Broadband, providing an update on the border-to-border grants. I think Angie Dickinson should be with us, and she's going to do a presentation. Members, if you want to hold your questions till after she's done, but there are some interesting facts here that we need to understand about how broadband was and was not funded in 2021, and how we're going to fund it with the ongoing federal money in 2022. So, Ms. Dickinson, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Chair Pawlowski. My name is Angie Dickinson, and I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Office of Broadband Development. My colleague, Devin Boundary, is going to share his screen, and we have a short presentation for you, and then I'm happy to answer any questions. So, Devin, are we good to go?
Can everybody see the screen here?
Yes. Okay. Well, again, good morning, Chair Pawlowski and committee members. Thank you for dedicating this time to discuss the need for border-to-border broadband access in our state. During these extraordinary times, the need for digital equity and high-speed internet access for all Minnesotans has never been more apparent. And we're fortunate in our state that thanks to private and public investment, many of our communities have access to reliable high-speed internet service, and we are grateful for the commitment of our state's broadband providers who work tirelessly to keep and get so many of us connected during the pandemic. At the same time, we are also acutely aware of the gaps in broadband coverage in our state and the importance of continuing our work to meet our state's broadband goals. And COVID-19 certainly intensified our sense of urgency, as so many of us need connectivity for everything, right? Like I said, I have a short presentation for you today, and then I'm happy to stand for questions. I'm going to start with an update on the border-to-border grant program. As you may recall, during the 2021 legislative session, the legislature appropriated $70 million from the Federal Capital Projects Fund to be used for Minnesota's border-to-border grant program. However, no state general funds were appropriated to the program at that time. And unfortunately, because of delays at the federal level, we were unable to launch a broadband grant round in 2021. In addition to federal funding, however, the governor's budget proposal requests that Minnesota allocate $170 million in state general funds for the border-to-border grant program going forward. Next slide, please. This slide gives you the timeline of events surrounding the Federal Capital Projects Fund process. There is a three-part process at Treasury for states to receive these funds. The first step was to submit a general application of intent to accept the funds. Minnesota submitted that application and it was accepted in December. We expect to have an executed contract with Treasury within the next few weeks. The second and third steps involve submitting an overall grant plan and individual program plans. The capital projects money may be used across three general areas or with three buckets of eligible uses. And those uses are broadband infrastructure. So that's where we would be using our $70 million in funding. the digital connectivity technology projects for the purchase or installation of devices and equipment to facilitate broadband access, and then the third category of multi-purpose community facility projects. Last month, we submitted Minnesota's grant and program plans for the $70 million that the legislature appropriated for the border-to-border grant program. Next slide, please. We hope to receive Treasury approval for our border-to-border grant program plan sometime this month. Upon approval, we are prepared to immediately launch the fiscal year 22 grant round that was for the $35 million out of the 70 that was appropriated. We expect to launch a second grant round in fiscal year 23, so early in July. While we are grateful for the federal investment in broadband infrastructure, relying solely on federal funding has hampered the agility of Minnesota's grant program and subjected it to federal timelines along with federal review and approval, which creates uncertainty. Next slide, please. And that leaves us with where we currently stand on our progress toward Minnesota's speed goals and the need for broadband access that still exists in our state. This map depicts broadband availability at the city and township level. The yellow areas are townships where less than 50% of the households have access to a 100 by 20 service. Minnesota has made progress towards its 2026 goal, with 89% of Minnesotans having access to broadband speeds of 100 by 20. In our rural areas, this measurement drops to 75%. Minnesota has approximately 240,000 households that lack wireline access to 100 by 20 broadband service. The estimated cost to connect these locations exceeds $1.3 billion. And this estimate is likely low due to the following infrastructure challenges: supply chain issues, labor and fiber shortages, rising costs for materials and labor, and the potential for permitting delays due to the large number of anticipated infrastructure projects on the horizon, and not just broadband projects, but infrastructure projects in general. Public-private partnerships are needed to ensure applications are submitted for broadband infrastructure projects to reach these un- and underserved locations. After considering current and potential future federal and public investments in broadband infrastructure, along with continued private investment, the governor proposes an additional $170 million in state investment to expedite infrastructure deployment in underserved areas of our state. Next slide, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That ends my presentation, and I'm happy to stand for questions.
All right, thank you. Members, do we have anyone with questions? I've got my... I don't see...
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Dickinson, you spoke that there was $70 million from the Capital Projects Fund that was appropriated. It's my understanding that Minnesota was eligible for up to $180 million of those federal funds. Where or what happened to that other $110 million?
Ms. Dickinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hamilton, thank you for that question. Yes, Minnesota was allocated $180.7 million of capital projects funding. We have the $70 million, as you mentioned, that the legislature appropriated last year. The remaining $110 is still being considered in terms of how that will be appropriated across those three buckets.
Representative Hamilton.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so hopefully we'll be able to access those monies as well, because that'll go a long way. My second question is the ARPA funds. Were any of those funds used by local units of government? And if so, how much of those monies were used for broadband and where were they allocated? If you know the answer to that question, please.
Ms. Dickinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hamilton, We don't have the exact numbers on what's happened at the local level, as some of those projects are still being contemplated, but we are gathering as much of that information as we can. We're thrilled to hear that at the local level, folks are moving forward with those ARPA monies, and to the extent that they can use those monies to pair up with our border-to-border grant program, I think is a real win for everyone. And Representative Hamilton, as soon as we have good data to share in aggregate about what's happening at the local level, we will definitely share that with all of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Dickinson, for being here today. Question I had was regarding the federal funds. Is there a specific timeline on when those funds need to be actually spent by the state? And secondly, with the large amounts of funding coming our way, question is, can we absorb those funds, and do we have the manpower, as was alluded to do the actual work in a timely fashion to meet the deadlines, if there are deadlines?
Ms. Dickens.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bierman, with the capital projects funds, the state has until the end of 2026 to expend those funds. My expectation, and this is simply my opinion, my expectation, as every state is in the same boat in terms of these potential infrastructure challenges, in terms of supply chain issues and the other potential time delays that I mentioned, I would expect that Treasury will give us some grace in terms of those timelines. We certainly have that ability built into the border-to-border grant program. But I think you're going to hear that from the broadband providers in our state as well, that those supply chain and labor challenges and the challenges around the increasing costs are going to lead to delays.
Representative.
And I'm sorry, Representative, did I missed the other part of your question?
I think you answered both parts, but I do have another question, please, Mr. Chair.
Representative.
And that is, I know a lot of this, the grants that are given out are, you know, you have to apply for them, and certain areas will get funding based on the availability of funds. But question I had in regards to larger amounts of funding, is there an effort to target, you know, by the largest numbers of population that might be affected, to expand broadband in the state in a more efficient manner to hit more of those households that don't have it? I think we're close to 500,000 people that don't have it. So I'm just wondering if there's a plan or a strategy to get the biggest bang for the buck where we put the money.
Ms. Dickens.
Mr. Chair and Representative Bierman, yes, those elements are baked into the border-to-border grant program process, if you will. We certainly look at the size and impact of a project as we're evaluating those applications. At the same time, we're mindful of keeping an eye on costs, and at the same time, looking at the smaller areas and pockets that still remain. And I think we're actually going to see more of those smaller projects over the coming grant rounds. As we make progress towards achieving our goals, the areas that remain unserved and underserved become smaller. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Dickinson.
Representative Lizaga.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With the federal money and the state money, my understanding from conversations with people that are involved in, there are certain monies tied up because of a time frame and applications and who can apply and who can't. And then you have, to Representative Bierman's point, you have larger areas that seem more sexy. Let's get a bigger bang for our buck. And then you have Greater Minnesota. And a lot of different areas in Greater Minnesota, the cost-benefit ratio isn't there. It's hard to get certain providers to want to make that investment. You have smaller communities or townships that do not have the funding to do the match at 50%. My question to you is, who in your organization, through the state or whoever, is reaching out and helping these entities regarding of the size or the ability? Because a lot of these places are one-stop shops, right? These townships and these small cities, they don't have grant writers and they don't have any of it. My question is what is your organization doing to help?
Ms. Dickinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lizegard, yes, our office intends to do outreach to communities related to participating in our border-to-border grant program and participating in these federal opportunities as we move forward. The federal monies allow funding for the administration of these programs and allow for expenses related to outreach and assisting communities through the application process.
Representative Lizegard.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I guess my follow-up question is yes, but who are these people and are they, I would like to know who they are, who they're reaching out to. I'd like a breakdown to make sure that I want to see every resource available that is provided and communicated to these entities across the state of Minnesota, in particular, the ones that are truly underserved. When I'm at home or when Rob Eklund's at home or Julie Sandstead is wherever, when we have to shut off our screen so we don't sit and buffer, well, other people that have this high-speed internet, I mean, our kids are suffering, everybody's suffering. I'm ranting, but I want to see the breakdown to make sure the Greater Minnesota and the underserved is at the forefront of this conversation.
Ms. Dickinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lizegard, I hear your frustration and your concern, and I will tell you, we are a small team. We are a small team in the Office of Broadband Development. Our team consists of myself, Diane Wells, who's our deputy director. We have two grant administrators and a program assistant. We are also staffing up on the digital equity side of our program, and I anticipate that depending on how these federal monies flow, that we may ultimately add staff and or consultants to help us with some of this community outreach. I hope that answers your question about the staff we have in place today. We over the last year have created webinars related to our grant program and our grant process. We are awaiting the final approval from Treasury on our program plan before we officially begin this next phase of our outreach with communities and working through some of the partner organizations across the state that we work with, such as Association of Minnesota Counties, League of Minnesota Cities, among many others.
Representative Lizegard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Eklund, welcome to the committee. Reminder to the committee that House Bill 14 will be the vehicle bill again this session for broadband. So, Representative Eklund.
Thank you for the invite to the committee, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Dickinson. It's good to see you again, even if it is on we look like postage stamps. But anyway, a lot of the questions that I had and we've talked about were answered. But the one big question I have is, and I think this is maybe the elephant in the room, is in a previous federal funding bill, there was the RDOF funding that went into effect. And that RDOF award is covering a huge swath of Minnesota. How is that going to affect those areas being able to apply for border-to-border broadband grant funding?
Ms. Dickinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Eklund, Yes, the question around the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund or the FCC's RDOF monies comes up frequently, and I'll tell you what we know today related to how that will impact us with the capital projects monies funding the border-to-border grant program.
Representative Eklund.
I'm
sorry, Ms. Dickinson, did I cut you off? No, I'm sorry.
It's okay, Mr. Chair, Representative Eklund, sorry, I was taking a breath. What we know from Treasury is that the guidance from Treasury is that for potential project areas where an RDOF preliminary award was announced, if we receive an application to fund with border-to-border dollars in that same RDOF awarded area, if the FCC doesn't have an enforceable agreement with that preliminary RDOF winner, we are allowed to award border-to-border funds in those locations. So if the preliminary RDOF winner doesn't have an enforceable agreement with the FCC to utilize those RDOF funds, we can move forward with funding border-to-border projects in those areas. And I hope that gives some level of comfort to the folks who've been questioning how they may move forward with their projects in those potential RDOF areas.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Ms. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Dickinson. That's somewhat of a relief. Is there something on the website? So, for instance, I have a township that is in RDOF award area that is looking for broadband. Is there something on the website that will let those people know that? So if they're working with provider to get a grant program going?
Ms. Dickinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Eklund, I will verify that it's there. I know we were updating our FAQ document related to the grant round. So if it's not on our website, I will definitely get that there soon.
Representative Eklund, does that?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And then one more quick question, Representative Blizzard, or a comment, I guess. Representative Blizzard alluded to this, but we're getting to the point where our 170,000 or so, whatever the number is, of unserved houses are households, which Representative Bierman alluded to as 500,000 people or so. We're getting to the point where the 50-50 grant match doesn't work for most providers. And has there been any conversations, Ms. Dickinson, about whether we could change that formula? I know this is preliminary, and I hope I don't put you on the spot with that, but I think it's similar to the cost of rural electrification. If we're going to truly get to everybody we need to get to, we need to figure out a formula to make it happen. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Dickinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Eklund, we are certainly open to those conversations. As you've said, the areas that remain as we get closer to finishing are more than likely the most costly and expensive to serve. And we're going to need to look at other formulas to get that job done. And I think the timing is perfect for us to do that and to have those conversations.
Representative Eklund, anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's good. I appreciate the time.
Ms. Dickinson, could you just briefly go over what Governor Walz has in his budget for broadband?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Governor Walz proposed $170 million in state general funds for the border-to-border grant program. And we would anticipate that those funds would be spread out over at least a three-year period. In addition to the investment in the border-to-border infrastructure grant program, Governor also proposed funding to allow the DNR to add additional staff to assist with permitting, which I think is timely considering some of the significant amount of infrastructure investment that is likely to happen in our state.
Ms. Dickinson, how quickly can state funds be used to do exactly what all of the members have asked you to do versus federal funds? What's the difference in the timeline and getting exactly to the door of the people that need to get this to their door? What's the difference in the timeline?
The difference in the timeline is really upon approval and at the state level with our state general funds, we can launch a grant round. We have timelines in statute around posting our scoring criteria and timelines within the program, but it's a very quick process once we have the state funding in place. With the federal funding, and I don't want to discount it. It's just that we have another level of potential delay and another level of administration and oversight before the funding gets to us. Once Treasury, for example, with the Treasury dollars, once they approve our program plan, we will launch a grant round. Minnesota will have access to that $70 million, but it's the timeline. And to be fair to folks at the federal level, they have undertaken some very, very large new programs to administer. So I appreciate the challenges they all must be facing at that level. At the same time, Minnesota has had this terrific program that really these federal programs are being modeled after, and we're in a waiting period.
So Ms. Dickinson, had we appropriated state money in 2021, could you have issued grants in 2021?
Absolutely.
All right. I think that's part of our discussion as we move forward this session. Do we want to have a state commitment that we know can go into place almost immediately on top of the potential of having federal dollars, which are somewhat cumbersome and erratic? And that will be part of our discussion as we move forward this session. So any other questions from members? Seeing no other questions, that will be the end of the committee today. I'm going to ask Mr. Wirth to stay on. I need to talk to him. And we will be having another hearing on broadband. And Representative Lizegard, to the questions that you raised, and Representative Eklund, we need to have the folks who are actually doing the work do a presentation to us to see what their problems are and how fast they can get broadband to individuals' homes. So with that, members, meeting is adjourned.